hearing a multitude comes from the east and the west. It's a hymn we're going to be taking a look at on this Rumination Tuesday, October the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2017. And with us is Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing this fine day?
I'm doing very good. It's a hymn that you haven't heard very
often.
No,
I really haven't. Now, I don't think I've ever used it. The words are fairly good, pretty straightforward. But, I'll be honest with you. I kind of shy away from hymns that have a lot of eighth notes like that.
Eighth notes?
Eighth notes, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. That when I look at those and I think, well, that's kind of contemporary. But I don't think it is. It comes from, what, the 1800s?
Yes, it's a hymn by Magnus M. Lanstadt. And he really based it on the parable of the great banquet in Luke 14. But the parable of the banquet we're going to be looking at is Matthew 22, the wedding feast.
Yes.
And it's a little different, of course, than that, but you can still use it. And this ranks as one of his best hymns. Translation is an updated version of that by Peter O. Stroma. And it first appeared in the Lutheran hymnal in 1913.
Not contemporary at all, is it?
No. The tune, talk about, was written in 1694. So that's not contemporary, Mark.
So I got no excuse to not to use it, right?
Yes.
Swedish tune, I think.
Yes, it seems to come from Swede. But I want to talk about something that you actually said before the program, just before we get into the hymn. And it was a really good insight. I mean, it's not that I was surprised, but it was pretty good what you had said. Have you seen how people are struggling to find out why that person in Las Vegas did what he did?
Oh, I know. They're baffled. They can't get to the source of, you know,
no,
why he did it.
They're looking for the trigger. Yeah. They said there's got to be a trigger, but none of his relatives, nothing he wrote.
He didn't, you know, lose a whole, you know, didn't have money problems as far as we know.
No, he was a multimillionaire, had two planes and a number of houses. And what did you say? And I really agree with this, that we Lutherans have no problem understanding why he did what he did.
Yeah. It's the devil.
That's right.
The devil. It's der Teufel.
Their Teufel, yes.
In the German. You bet. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and yet you say that, and people kind of smirk or they roll their eyes. Okay, all right, you know. But it's the truth.
Yeah, yesterday.
You know, when you have his own brother said he had no religious affiliation.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't have Christ, you're open.
Oh, boy.
You're open all sorts of things. And the scriptures tell us that if the Holy Spirit is not dwelling within you, there's a void there that's going to be filled by, there's all sorts, John tells us there's all sorts of evil spirits that have gone out in the world.
Yes.
And I really do believe that that's the source of the problem here.
I spoke a little bit about it. I didn't mention the devil. I talked about, first of all, original sin.
Yeah.
And then I asked the question, why are these people so frustrated in not being able to figure out the reason? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, because they've got to have the answer, you know.
But why?
Well, I guess the authorities hope that if they find the source of the trouble, they can stem off any further.
Yes. I mean, that's a good thing from a political point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, here's my reason why I believe they have to find a source, is they're afraid that if there is no source, then anyone could end up doing this.
That's a good point, yeah.
Including themselves.
Yeah, well, his own brother. And I don't mean to quote his brother too much, but his own brother said, you know, he's just a regular guy.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And who wants to think of that any regular person can become this type of a
monster? I was talking to someone on the phone, one of our listeners last night, and here's the point I was making. is there were a lot of really fine men in Germany prior to World War II.
Right, right.
And yet some of them became Nazis and ended up doing such cruel things.
Yes.
Yeah, I was watching a program last night on Hitler, how he had gathered around him. And a lot of people were just mesmerized because the Germans were really embarrassed that they had lost World One.
Right.
And then the Versailles Treaty.
Right.
Yeah, put such
that he humiliated them. Yes.
Yes, and so they were really anxious to see, and he tried to take over the government, but then he was arrested, and that would have been the end of it. Except what brought back his vigor and the people for him was stuff that happened in the 30s with the fall of the stock market.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden people were without food and this sort of thing. But it was really fascinating to see how cruel these regular guys could become.
Yeah, well, you're swept up by it. You see this in mobs, too. You know, mobs can be very dangerous.
That's a good
because,
point.
You know, they're no doubt good people. They get swept up in it and...
Jumping up and down on police cars.
Yeah, and before you know it, you're involved in terrible things.
Yeah, the news was saying that in St. Louis, they're thinking of increasing the fine for people who stop traffic on the expressway.
Well, they should.
Yeah, they should put them in jail for 10 years.
Terrible to do that.
Oh. In fact, I'm amazed that they haven't been run over yet. Because, boy, that traffic, and, you know, you're coming down there, and all of a sudden you see a big crowd, and how can you stop and time it? But, yeah, I was out one night about 10 o'clock, and all of a sudden, I must have seen 30 police cars going down Jefferson with their lights on and everything. And so I didn't go on Jefferson.
Right,
I went
right.
another way, and there was this big crowd on the side of one of the corners. And so I pulled down my window and says, "What was all that police stuff?" And they said, "Oh, protesters."
Ah.
And they were protesters.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't say anything. I just drove on. But, yeah, it's something that people need to realize. There but for the grace of...
God go you and I.
Yes.
That's right. For the grace of God.
Now, I know if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be in jail. I'm driving down the highway and somebody cuts me off.
You get hot-tempered with that kind of thing, right? Watch out, huh?
Much more I would if I weren't a Christian.
Uh-huh. Yes, that's right. You're right.
And we talked about yesterday that Paul, you know, and this is really a hard statement to understand, but he says that do not be anxious about anything. Well, how's that possible? And the reason he gives, this is the epistle from Philippians, because the Lord is at hand.
That's right.
The Lord is always with you in whatever is happening.
And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and spouse.
Oh, wow.
The kingdom ours remaineth.
Yes. Yeah, that's really hard. He says, in whatever situation I am content. Whether he's being whipped, whether he's in prison, hungry, or whatever. And he finally ends in verse 13, I can do all things through
Christ who strengthens me.
Very good.
Yes.
So this is where Christianity makes a huge difference. And we often talk about the first use of the law that would keep people from going beyond what they should. But then that's always out of self-interest. We have to remember that. So if your self-interest ends up becoming evil. So for us Lutherans particularly, and it should be for all Christians, it's very easy to understand why he did what he did. The old Adam and then tempted by the devil, and he just did not have the strength to stop.
Yeah, and you know, people are so convinced that tighter gun laws are what is needed. But, you know, I'm going to say something else that will strike people very trite. But I think more than ever, I think our leaders ought to urge our people to get back to church, to go to church,
yes.
to go to a church where they preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, hear the gospel. That will have a greater impact than any law you can pass. I know you need laws. I know you need some gun laws. But I really do believe that's something that needs to be said these days.
Because it's only in Christianity you get the proper motivation.
That's right.
And that's love of Christ. Right. Outside of that, nothing is proper motivation.
At the very least, you get the Ten Commandments.
Yes. In most, although thou shalt not commit adultery doesn't appear to deal with homosexuality.
Right.
So they're even changing them. But that's a really good point. The trouble is, I just read an article out of England, and they are really losing people coming to church. And we're finding that here in the United States. You know what his reason was?
Go ahead. No, I don't.
Pastors are teaching false doctrine.
Yeah, well, I think pastors bear some of the blame.
Absolutely.
They're not preaching Jesus Christ.
No, they're not.
They're preaching how to be a better
person,
citizen.
Or if you have enough faith, the Joel Osteen kind of thing.
Right.
You'll be able to...
Self-help stuff.
That's right. Exactly. And if you want that, go see a psychiatrist.
No, it's a real problem. I really see that as a major, if not the source of the problem with us today in our culture.
And that shows why the theme of the Reformation, when Randy Goulter put that whole program together.
Right. It's still all about Jesus.
Yes. It's still all about Jesus. And the greatest Bible study that ever occurred in the Bible was on the road to Emmaus.
Yes.
And all he talked about was Jesus.
Jesus. In the Old Testament scriptures.
Exactly. Because, a lot of people don't realize this. Those two disciples knew he died on the cross, but they also knew that there was a report by the women he had risen from the dead.
Right.
Yet they were totally depressed.
Yeah. We had thought that he would be the one that would deliver Israel, they said.
You know? And see, they had a wrong view of the purpose of the crucifixion.
Exactly.
And Jesus even says,
slow of heart you are.
Why it was necessary for the Messiah to die.
That's right.
And as they heard those things,
their hearts burned within them. They said that later.
And that's what every sermon should be doing.
Exactly.
Every sermon should get hearts burning within them because of things you've never heard.
Yeah.
That's a big point in my sermons. I always try and find something that I don't think they've heard before. And because, as you know, I believe Christianity is ridiculous. Okay, going back to our hymn before we get into that topic again.
I talked this over with my wife. She doesn't agree with you on that. She doesn't think ridiculous is a good word.
Well, you know why? You know why she doesn't?
Why?
She's a Christian, and it makes sense to her.
Okay.
Yes. Isn't she a Christian?
Let's get back to the hymn before I get in trouble.
She's not a Christian?
No, she is, of course.
She has to be married to you.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay. Stanza one.
A multitude comes from the east and the west to sit at the feast of salvation with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the blessed. Obeying the Lord's invitation. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus.
It's kind of interesting that during the Reformation, we're saved by grace, but this first stanza ends with mercy.
Yes.
And remember what the difference between mercy and grace is?
Oh, you have to remind me. Let's see. Mercy is not getting what we deserved.
Excellent.
And grace is getting, let's see, grace is...
Getting what you don't deserve.
Getting what you don't deserve. Right?
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
And that's why God is, first of all, merciful to us in our salvation, because we deserve eternal damnation, but he's merciful to us. Now, the question I had comes from the east and the west. And in light of the fact that he was doing it on the basis of the... banquet, the wedding banquet.
Even it's right out of Isaiah. Isaiah talks about, in fact, I think it's Isaiah 24.
Oh, really?
Talks about voices of victory and praise coming from the east and the west.
Yeah, it kind of reminds us of last week's hymn. It's so broad, so deep, so wide.
Oh, love so deep, so broad, and so high.
Here it comes where... the wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. You know, the Pharisees were invited, and they said, no, I don't believe. Go, therefore, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And they went and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. Yeah. Now, that's kind of interesting. I always talk about that you go to the underpasses where the homeless are living, and you invite them. That would be updating it for today and such like that. But that's really kind of interesting that even though it's the faith, as he says in the hymn, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Paul in Romans 9 and 10 and 11 really make clear that not all Israel is of Israel.
Is of Israel. That's right.
What is the true Israel?
True Israel is believers.
That's right.
By grace through faith.
Yes. They believe the promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Abraham believed the promise, and it was merited. It was accounted to him as righteousness.
And so being related to Abraham doesn't help you at all.
No.
No.
It's having the faith of Abraham.
That's right. And that's the distinction between the one Israel that thinks they're fine because they're related and the other Israel that knows they're okay with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Stanza 2. God, let us hear when our shepherd shall call in accents persuasive and tender, that while there is time, we make haste one and all and find him our mighty defender. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. Now, at first reading, this doesn't sound very Lutheran.
Well, O God, let us hear when our shepherd shall call. Well, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
I
give unto them eternal life.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty Lutheran.
Yeah, it's the parable of the lost sheep. The part I was looking at was, and find him our mighty defender. It's as though we find...
Oh, I see what you're saying, yes.
The shepherd.
Yeah.
But can we not say that in the parable of the lost sheep, that the sheep is...
Sheep is
they,
found.
They bleat or whatever they do.
They baa, that kind of thing, right? That's bleating, right?
I was listening to the comedy, and this guy was talking about how when he's reading about dogs, for instance, they go bark, bark.
They bow, bow, wow.
I've never heard of a dog go bark, bark. Why would we say that? And for each animal, he had what the sound we say they did, and they weren't doing them at all.
Yeah. That's what we call automatopoeia, I think. Automatopoeia.
What does that mean?
It's when you, I think I've got the right word there. It's when you, the word moo, that's what a cow does. Cows moo.
Oh, I see.
Or cats meow, it sounds like the sound that they make. I think it's automatopoeia.
Well, that's interesting. I won't have you spell it. All righty. But see, that's a good point. One can say the sheep saw the shepherd, found the shepherd, and then bleated for him to come.
Yes.
And that's what we do through faith, is we look to Jesus to come, pick us up on his shoulders, carry our sins to the cross. And that's really an important item. And that's why the multitude doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile.
Right.
You all become Israel through faith in Jesus. That's the new Israel. And that's what's so sad about all these Christians who think the land of Israel needs to be protected so that God will come back. No. He can come back at any time.
Any time.
Israel is referring to a people, not to the land. Stanza 3.
All trials shall be like a dream that is past. Isn't that good news? Forgotten all trouble and mourning. All questions and doubts have been answered at last when rises the light of that morning.
Couple of questions there. You said that was good news, that all dreams...
All trials.
Our dreams are fast. Remember when I said that I love having nightmares?
Yes.
Yeah, because when you wake up...
Oh, when you wake up, it feels so good, yes.
I had one about a week ago. It was just terrible. I lost my wallet.
Oh,
and while I'm looking for
it's a nightmare.
I was hoping, I hope this is a dream. Saying that in the dream.
Okay.
And it wasn't.
And it wasn't a dream.
No.
You really lost your wallet.
No.
Oh, it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah, but man, when I woke up, I was so glad it was a dream. I love nightmares.
For that reason.
Yeah, because they're rarely true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not very Freudian as to what's the behind your nightmares and stuff, but be that as it may. But that's really a good, all trials shall be like a dream that is past. How many times have members said to you, I don't think I'm going to get through this week? And they do.
Yeah. The Lord brings us through somehow. Yes.
Well, because of the Philippians passage, the Lord
is at hand.
And the reason he's at hand, most people, because they confuse law and gospel, think that when something bad happens to them, they're getting punished by God. And Paul says very clearly, you don't have to be anxious about anything because the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So the devil uses our trials and sufferings. One of the things that really surprised me, and I was with a group talking about this, is how many people came to faith because of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
There was one guy. And
feel like they have a new lease on life.
They said, I didn't believe in God until this happened.
Yeah, isn't that something?
And then he was, spared.
Yes.
And he now really believes in God, and so what an opportunity to share. And then the other thing I heard from more than one is, as some people would jump on others to protect them from the bullets or take them to the hospital, they refer to them as guardian
angels.
Yes. And so they saw the hand of God even there.
I remember hearing about one. There were two people that covered, I think, a woman.
Yes.
And one of them survived. One of the guys survived, and one of them didn't.
Yes, I remember that. Yes.
And I remember hearing a touching story about a 30-year-old mother of three who died in her husband's arms. I'll tell you, heart-rending stories.
Yeah, that was on Fox News last night, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because the peace of God. See, that's why Christians wouldn't go to the extent that this guy did, because we recognize Jesus, we know him, and the Holy Spirit can really keep us from going beyond. No temptation shall come to you that God doesn't get you through it.
That's right.
Stanza 4, please.
The heavens shall ring with anthem more grand than ever on earth was recorded. The blessed of the Lord shall receive at his hand the crown to the victors awarded. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus.
Okay, a child's going to ask the question, what do you mean by anthem?
Anthem is a hymn or a song.
Yes, it's more than just the music. It includes
the words. It's the words, sure.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have you been at a concert where the choir really can build
up? Yes, well, the Alleluia chorus.
No, what did you just say when you walked in and you thanked Buzz for, what did he play?
Oh, he played that, I got a couple songs that I love to hear. One of them is, it's an Advent hymn, Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending.
Yes. But the other one you mentioned.
The other one is Tomorrow Shall Be My Dancing Day.
You know.
Talk about a contemporary hymn. But I just love it.
There's no way the congregation could sing that.
Yeah. No. That's right.
No. It's first time I heard it, Henry Gehrke did it at the seminary.
Yeah. It's got bongos in it and everything.
Oh, is it good?
It's good, though.
Yeah. In fact, you can get the CD from Concordia Publishing House. It's on one of its CDs. And
that's one of the few really contemporary hymns that I really like.
Yes.
And I don't know why. I just do.
Well, it's not only are the words good, but it puts you in the mood of worship. Yeah. But the anthem we're going to hear on Judgment Day is far better.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, probably because everybody's singing it.
Yes.
Can you imagine a choir of millions, if not billions, of people?
Yeah. I remember how uplifting it was just when the first chapel at the seminary, you have all those male voices.
Yes.
Boy, you never forget that.
Yeah, exactly. And so worship is really important. And boy, I attended one not long ago where they had just a guitar up front, and it just didn't seem right.
Yeah.
No, compared. And nobody could sing the hymn, of course, type of thing either. I'm glad there weren't more verses. I don't think we would have got them done.
We out of time?
Yes. Can you believe that?
Whatever you say, Tom.
No, it's not what I say. It's what this anthem is saying. So, see you next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, as far as I know, right.
Yeah,
the Lord permitting.
I know there's a convention coming up. You've got to go to a conference. But tomorrow on Law and Gospel, we're going to be talking about an insight. Not only how God loves you, how he doesn't forsake you, but we'll have a new item. That's on tomorrow's Insight Wednesday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.